Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Bum hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 217. Wow. John Senecal, Brian Shackman, and wow was kind of the order of the day. I mean, honestly, John, I mean, we'll talk about both teams, but it's one of those things where if you asked me in April if I'd be playing relevant games in late September, would I be excited? And I'd say, yeah, I would. But now that I'm here, I'm really quite nervous because the Sox are in a tough spot. Yankees have obviously played much better of late. So we go into this late September weekend, and you know, I know the Yankees are in Baltimore, the Red Sox are in Tampa. Just give me your sort of temperature check.
Well, I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox haven't been that much different in the last 10 games. I mean, the Red Sox are 5-5, the Yankees are 6-4, but the Yankees seem like they look like they've been playing better because they've gained and the Red Sox have dropped in the standings. And I think it's just because they've been winning when the other teams weren't. That being said, Brian, yes, I am more optimistic about the Yankees schedule because obviously it's easier with Baltimore and Chicago as opposed to the Red Sox with Tampa, Toronto, and then finishing in Detroit. I think we need each other, Brian. I think we need Boston to beat Toronto. I think that's what the Yankees need. And I think it's interesting for baseball and it's crazy interesting for the rivalry that these two teams are going to depend on each other in a way, especially the Yankees on the Red Sox. But at the same time, the Red Sox are fighting for their playoff lives. Let's be honest here.
Well, so before we get to that, so you're basically implied in that is you think that there's a bona fide chance for the Yankees still to win the division.
Absolutely, 100%. You're three back as we speak, and you have 9 games to play against very, very, very mediocre teams. Mediocre is good at that. While the Red Sox have a chance to help us, and let's be honest, those aren't easy teams to play either for the Blue Jays.
No, and I mean they have a history of throwing up on themselves, right? So I think that's kind of the key and the operative word. When it comes to the Red Sox, listen, you know, the only thing about Cleveland that makes me encouraged is that they've won 7 in a row going into Friday. I don't think they're going to win 10 or 12 in a row, right? I mean, I think baseball is an ebb and a flow. They're going to lose a game or two unless they do something not historic, but really kind of epic and push it. So I think that they've sort of, they're almost getting hot a little too early. But having said that, the Sox have 6 games on the road and they're not playing well. And the thing I wanted to talk about, and this is not necessarily news, but like Willier Abreu and Roman Anthony not in the lineup, you know, those are two clearly above average major leaguers. Arguably one is an all-star and one is a future all-star. And that's just two of the injuries. But I think the Red Sox, if they don't get some people back, which I don't think – I don't know when Abreu's back, but I don't think Anthony would be back until the playoffs. They might lose enough to miss out of the postseason. It might happen.
Yeah, injuries are interesting right now. Astros are dealing with some major injuries, and the Red Sox, obviously with Roman Anthony and, like you said, Abreu. I said it like, I believe it was two episodes ago that I don't think the Red Sox can do it without Roman Anthony. I think he's just too much of a spark plug. That being said, you know, we're talking about injuries. You know, the one good thing about the Yankees, you know, they trot out a different lineup every night, but they are relatively healthy other than the Aaron Judge arm thing. And you know, you can work your way around it. We'll see, you know, as far as they're going to keep Stanton in the lineup, and we'll see, you know, obviously I had said on our famous text string, Brian, that of course I guarantee game three is going to come down to a ball hit to right field and Judge is going to have to be throwing because Judge is not coming out of the lineup in the postseason for defensive purposes unless you're up by a lot of runs. Let's be honest right here. You can't kick him out of the lineup.
Do you think that these role, like not role guys, but you're, I mean, you know, with Bellinger and Grisham, I mean, like when that lineup's clicking, they're kind of vaunted. I mean, there's a lot of guys there that can hurt you that aren't named Judge and Stanton.
Yeah, the good thing about the Yankees lineup is there's a lot of experience in it, you know, on the top of the order. You know, say what you want about Grisham Buick. He's been around a long time. He's relatively young still because he came up as a very young player and he's been on some very good teams, you know, but he's played well below his potential and he's playing way above his ceiling right now as far as history goes. But Bellinger, I mean, come on now. What are we talking about here? Like that at bat against Chapman. And that series was insane. And he's been doing that kind of stuff all year. He's just an amazing player who the Yankees need to re-sign. So the Yankees, like you said, Brian, that top of the order lineup, other than Judge and Stanton, is very good. You know, Jazz is playing well. It's the seven through nine guys that really scare me. It's those
guys.
Well,
it's like it's outside of Volpe. Did you say this last week? I mean, Volpe's stuck at 19 home runs. They have seven guys with at least 20 home runs.
Yeah, and if you throw McMahon in there, you know, he didn't get them all with the Yankees, but he's gonna go over, I believe, too. That would be a record for the Yankees, but I mean, they are the Bronx Bombers. I mean, in a way, that's good for record books, but that kind of sucks because that's what they're doing. They're hitting a ton of home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not gonna play in the playoffs. We know that. I'm trying to figure out what was the original question we were talking about here as far as the top of the lineup.
I was talking about how when guys like Bellinger and even Chisholm, you could say, and Grisham, that when they hit, it's like the lineup is frightening sometimes.
Yeah, you can say that about any team, but the problem is that bottom. How is Boone in his million different lineups that he's trotted out there? How is he going to figure that McMahon or Volpe or McMahon and Caballero? I mean, maybe Rosario plays more. He's a very good hitter. He's a better hitter than both of those guys historically. So that is going to be a tough thing to figure out. You cannot have those guys playing hitting back to back in the lineup.
Just real quick, give me your. I mean, again, we'll adjust it, but. Give me your projections. Well, how you feel right now? You know, let's just stick with our teams and our focus. Give me the AL breakdown. Obviously, Detroit is going to win the Central. I think that the Mariners win the West, but then we have who wins the AL East and who are your three wild card teams.
Now, so again,
Houston could easily win the division. I'm just going with Seattle.
Yeah, Houston and the Mariners are bouncing back and forth between division and third wild card or second wild card right now. What really makes me nervous, Brian, is the fact that the Yankees don't hold the tiebreaker over the Jays. That makes me nervous because I feel like this season could come down to them tied in the standings, and it would suck to lose the AL East to the tiebreaker, knowing that you had games, I remember, that you could have won against them, and the games you played like complete crap against them. That being said, I see that the Yankees getting the first wild card, which is good because they get the home games, the first two home games. And I see, unfortunately, I feel like the Red Sox aren't going to make it. I feel like it's going to. It's
so. Do you think it's Cleveland?
Well, you know, I don't know, Brian. It's tough to say.
Or the Rangers?
No, the Rangers aren't going to do it. I mean, the Red Sox, I still think have a great. I think they sit at like 80%.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money?
Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Maybe? Something like that, 75%.
Right now, as of Friday, they're at 82.6.
82.6. You know what? I'm going to take that back. I think the Red Sox come in as the third wild card, which I believe sets them up to play the Mariners, which I don't want to play the Mariners. I'd rather play the Astros in the first wild card round, but then you got the Jays after that. So I'm going to go with Yankees 1, Seattle wins the West, and the Red Sox are the third wild card. And I think that it's only going to happen because the Yankees blew the tiebreaker to the Jays. I really think it's going to come down. I think the Red Sox can help the Yankees out, and the Yankees have been playing good enough against it. And with these crappy teams, it's going to happen.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Clayton Kershaw, you know, usually he announces or he reflects on the season and figures out what he wants to do. He decided to announce his retirement before the end of the season. And I did sports on my morning show because Matt Saroy's, our producer, was off. So I played the soundbite several times with him. He had his family in the room. He had his teammates in the room and the media. And he just talked. He was emotional. And he's like, he's not sad, but everyone being there made it weird. And he just sort of kept saying how everyone's making it weird. But, you know, I looked up all the numbers. I don't even have to look them up now. I have them committed to memory. You know, 11 All-Star nods. He had two Cy Youngs, one MVP, and obviously he didn't do great in the playoffs, but he also did – he is a World Series champion. I mean, he's a horse, and I mean, I don't know if he's first ballot, but he's – I think 222 wins overall. He's obviously, in my opinion, a modern-day Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, God. No doubt, dude. I mean first of all, you won the Cy Young and the MVP in the same year in 2014, 21 wins twice. I mean, the crazy thing about him is he's got a 698 winning percentage and a 2.54 career ERA. That's nuts, dude.
It is the NL, but most
yeah,
of that
was never had a losing record, 11-time All-Star. I mean, what else can you say about him, dude? In 2016, the dude had a 1.69 ERA. That's better than what we're seeing with Paul Skeens right now. I mean, there was a time that this guy, I mean, if you remember fantasy baseball, he was the number one pick for everybody.
Yeah.
For like five straight years. Now, yeah, injuries and stuff did kind of screw up his career, but he always played above his potential. Like, I'm not above his potential. He always played to what his potential was. He wasn't out there and not helping the team. He sat when he needed to, and he was on the field when he knew he was healthy. I there's no doubt he's a surefire Hall of Famer.
The interesting thing to me is his ERA is bloated relative to his career numbers, but he's still 10-2. And the thing is, what I think this does, it takes sort of like, I don't know if arrogance is the way it is, but I think of the Dodgers in 2025 the way I thought of the Yankees when I was little. Like, they just sort of think they're always going to be there, right? I think this gives the team like a real motivation to try to win. And so maybe that's the calculation made by the team. I don't know. But I think sending him out a winner is enough to get people fired up for another run at the World Series. So all of a sudden I look at them a little bit differently. I still root against the Dodgers, but I think that they have – and I think that the NL – I just think the NL's got a lot of great teams. I mean, the NL is, I think, better than the AL. But I think now that I'm less annoyed if the Dodgers run the table, because I think it'd be a good story.
I like the fact that he played his whole career with one team. I like the fact that he didn't announce this before the season and we had to do the whole farewell tour. I kind of don't like the fact that Jeter almost got shamed into kind of doing it, and Pappy got kind of shamed into doing it. Kershaw, I think the fact that he was injured so much in his late part of his career and never really played a whole season kind of kept him under the radar in a sense, so people weren't barking in his ear about, oh, you're going to retire, make up a decision. So it is kind of cool that we didn't have to deal with it all season, and he just kind of goes out. And like you said, this could be a big springboard for them. Hopefully not, because I'm done with the Dodgers.
So the other thing I know you wanted to talk about, and I think it's a great point. John Senecal, Brian Shackman, or episode 217 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, is this whole thing about home run or foul balls and the baseball you get in the stands. Now, I throw out the first pitch of the Hartford Yard Goats 1 to 2 times a year. And I take the baseball when I come off the field because they always give it back to you. And I always find some little kid to give it to. And I personally, like, have grown to the point where whether it's a hat or like my son is a big football fan. He loves the Chargers, and we've gone to games, and all he wants is a hat, like a wristband or a glove or any a towel, anything from a player. I'm at the point in my life where I honestly don't care about that stuff. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to stick it on my wall? Am I going to wear the glove? It's just stupid to me. So I don't mind little kids getting that. But at the same time, like there has – your point is so good. This is offline and you can articulate it. It's like, why do we have to – what the woman did in Philly was awful, but it brought a larger conversation. This is that why is it so shameful for any adult to keep the damn ball?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. I mean, the Philly thing is a perfect storm, right? I mean, it was like the reaction from the guy, the kid, like the storming across, the hair, the outfit. I mean, it was – that was just like comedy in a way. What I'm talking about is like just a random home run ball. And next thing you know, you've sat in the bleachers. This is your first game you've ever been to at that stadium. You've never caught a ball in your life. And you're just a 35-year-old dude or whoever. And you catch a ball. And all of a sudden, there's six cameras on you. And it's literally like the announcer's sitting there like, all right, is this guy going to give this ball away to some kid? Yeah. And then half the time, like I saw one just recently, like he gave it to the kid. The kid literally had no idea what was going on. It was like the kid was like 3 years old. It was like totally oblivious. And it was just like a spectacle. And then they go and post it online like, oh, baseball's purest moments. Yeah, I get it. Like it looks good for the camera, but that kid's not going to remember that. That kid has no idea. And you don't even know, like for all you know, this dude could have caught that home run ball in the same seat he sat with his dead father in. Or something,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, there's you but don't know.
The point that I like about it is that we instantly almost shame somebody if they don't give it up, and I think
totally.
that is the point that is interesting. But I don't think the sentiment's going to change on that. I don't think it's. I think that's the way it is.
No, now. Like there was that one. There was one like a couple years ago where like a guy in the upper deck like caught a ball, and he was like a 20-something-year-old guy, and he gave it to a kid a couple rows in front of him. And then like two innings later, the kid caught a home run ball and turned around and gave it to the guy behind him, like. That's like a baseball moment. Like the one time, like the 12-year-old kid caught a foul ball and gave it to the hot chick behind him. Like, remember that? Like, that is like different. Like, there's like now you're like, you're seeing a guy catch a foul ball behind home plate and like a kid run on over like four rows and like standing there, like waiting. It's like you're checking out at the register and it's like, would you like to donate to this cause? It's
yeah, turns or, around and or, looks at or you. The tip thing now, you know, like it's the same thing. It's such a
I mean, complaint. I'm all for a great moment and stuff, but it's like one thing if you're a dad and you catch the ball and like you give it to your kid, you don't need to be a dude four rows over that has no like association with your family and all of a sudden you have to make a family's day just because there's a kid sitting in a row. I don't know, maybe I'm old school or whatever, but it is.
No, I mean, usually I find you to be excessively cynical. But I think that this is a really fair point because, A, like you said, you don't know the context, but also it's like, why does it make you a jerk? Like, if I personally don't need the ball. I could care less. But why does it make you a jerk if you keep it? And I think that that's the part that is.
And bothering. For some reason, it doesn't matter if the ball's significant. Like, you can wrestle the ball and kill somebody for it if it's Otani's 51st home run ball and his 51st steal or Judge's 60-second home run. That don't matter. But if it's just a, you know, regular home run ball on a given day, you got to give it up. So that's another thing I don't understand. Like, why shouldn't the kid get that ball? You know, but right, no, you can go down and you can scrum it out and literally duke each other out and take each other to court for that. But that's all
my last point on this, then we'll say goodbye is that, you know, if they made a policy for every team to like, not compensate, but like, give something to the dude who gives up the ball or whatever. Like, I feel like that stuff makes it worthwhile. I don't know.
That's not a bad idea. You know, a free ticket to the game.
Something. Just something.
You know, it's all on camera, man. But then you're going to have dudes like bringing balls like they do at Wrigley instead of throwing that one ball back. You bring a little scrappy ball in their pocket and chuck it out.
He's John Cynical. John Cynical. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Episode 217 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.